I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of Audio Smut is sponsored by Babeland. If you want to support Audio Smut, then support Babeland. They are a women-owned sex toy store and an amazingly supportive community. Use the special Audio Smut offer code 52909 and get 10% off and free shipping at babeland.com. Thanks, Babeland. This is Audio Smut, and I'm Mitra. This is the coming of age episode. Now, I want you to picture this. A scrawny 12-year-old brown girl. Short, dark, and hairy. Thankfully, no braces or glasses, but unbelievably awkward nonetheless. She has big eyes and a not-so-tiny mustache that rivaled most of the boys in her grade. 2 months ago, she was wearing overalls. She leaned her chest against her desk, the metal clasp of the overalls digging into her tender flesh, right in the spot where breasts would one day grow. Her eyes teared up from the unfamiliar pain. She knew what was coming for her. She had seen the videos. Boobs, periods, babies. To admit that one is going through puberty was to admit that someone is becoming an adult. And with adulthood comes new responsibilities, new emotions, new attitudes. So this 12-year-old kid is actually me, 15 years ago, almost to the date. I wasn't ready. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed to show my family that I was growing up. I was embarrassed to mention that it was probably time for me to start shaving my legs.
I should have started shaving sooner.
Very uncomfortable pool parties. Growing up meant that one day I would have sex. But even more so, it meant that I would want to have sex. I could barely stand watching two actors kiss on television with my parents around. So it was a Friday night in May in 1999. Boy Meets World was on television, the humid Dallas air hugging me and weighing my hair down. I was sitting on the couch, my mother on my right, my father on my left. As usual, my mom was snacking on some dark chocolate, and my dad was probably flossing.
Old people stuff.
I got up to use the bathroom. When I pulled down my underwear, without a warning, it had happened. A rust-colored stain, no larger than a quarter, waving at me.
Oh, what am I going to do?
Begging me to put on some lipstick and high heels and just own it. I called my mom. I approached her with my head down, shy, embarrassed, near tears. I started my period. This episode is about growing up, becoming an adult, entering a stage of independence. Shaving cream, tampons, driving, voting, doing your own dishes, doing your own taxes, and sex. I will be guiding us on a path of rituals, formal or otherwise. Hopefully, when we emerge on the other side of this episode, we will be transformed. Right now, we are children. We are immature. We don't exercise the best judgment. We are carefree, and it's totally okay. We don't have to play by the rules of adulthood yet. But soon, we will. before we can reach adulthood and reap the benefits of society, there are rites of passage. Rituals, ceremonies, maybe a party, maybe something altogether less formal. An event to mark this transition, changing from one thing to another. But before the full transformation can take place, we are in between. A phase of liminality. Not a girl, not yet a woman. And it's awkward, uncomfortable, overwhelming, and terrifying. It is all of these awful adjectives because we don't belong anywhere. We are straddling a line with one foot in childhood and the other in adulthood. And we aren't really sure how to make this transition. And this is why we have rituals, to help us find the way. Coming-of-age rituals vary from culture to culture, religion to religion. One such is a bat mitzvah, literally translated as daughter of the commandment. A Jewish girl becomes a bat mitzvah at the age of 12. Reaching this age signifies becoming a full-fledged member of the Jewish community, with the responsibilities that come with it. In American Jewish culture, the ceremony is thrown in conjunction with a party. There will be candles. There will be blow-up saxophones, chicken nuggets, and big poofy dresses. This is a coming-of-age story, a story of two bat mitzvahs, a story of growing up and becoming a man. This is Harvey Katz. You might already know who Harvey is. He performs his poetry as the Athens Boys Choir. He's what I like to call gay famous. So when he was sitting across from me at my kitchen table, I was kind of gushing.
I sound husky on this.
I've been trying to make him my BFF for months now, but I'm just a little too embarrassed to call. I digress. Here's Harvey.
I went to Hebrew school for 12 years. My parents spent money on 12 years of Hebrew school, and I don't remember a thing. It's as if I never was there. I was not like the best liked person in school or Hebrew school. Like, I was kind of a weird kid. Gender was becoming really hard for me. On Saturdays, I would walk to synagogue and my parents would drive so that I could have like this 20 minutes that I didn't have to be in synagogue. And then I would always make sure my stockings ripped on the way so I could just go to synagogue and like shred them to pieces and take them off. And that was like, goodbye, stockings. And then I would get to synagogue and I was always like, tried to make a big presentation of it. Like, sorry, I'm sweaty and messy, but I walked here because it's Shabbos. And because I was also like a real like kiss ass, and I wanted people to like me and I wanted them to think I really cared. And so I always made like a really big show of it. And then I figured out that if I leave the synagogue, I think it was just as the Torahs were being put away, then they wouldn't let me back in until the rabbi's sermon was done because they didn't want people going in and out. And I got out of what I thought was like 25 pretty boring moments. But what I would do is I would go and use the payphone and I would call 1-800-TAMPONS. And I hadn't even gotten my period yet. And I would call and I would tell them I had a tampon stuck up in me. And they would go step by step on how to remove it. And I found it so thrilling. And it was like, and then I would just panic and hang up. And I could do this every Saturday. It never stopped being fun for me. And that's how pretty much I spend every Saturday, calling 1-800-TAMPONS and trying to get out of synagogue.
Hey everybody, welcome to my party. I hope you have a great time.
In like middle upper class Miami, it's a big deal when your kid gets bar bat mitzvah. It's like there's a big party. You're like brought in front of this group of people and everyone is like, all right, you're a woman now. Like that's what people tell you. Like they're psyched that you're a woman. They came to party with your blow up saxophones because you're a woman now.
A hearty mazel tov to you.
Hi, Elizabeth. You did a really good job. And this is going to be a great party. I know it. And
we certainly enjoyed the day with you and this evening.
And congratulations on your bat mitzvah.
And it looks good and beautiful.
All right, you're a woman now. That's something that feels hard now, but then I'm sure it felt just good to be told you were something. I think if I could have not done it, I probably wouldn't have. And I think more than anything, the fact that I would have been like the spotlight was really uncomfortable for me. So I was really trying to lobby against it, but my family was not going to have it. My mom, you know, came to me and was like, pick out your colors. And I was like, I don't care. You know, fine, blue and yellow. And my mom was like, okay, turquoise and peach it is, you know, because it was 1993. I had two bat mitzvahs. One was set up for 2 weeks after Hurricane Andrew hit Miami, which was like a really big hurricane to hit Miami in 1992. So my bat mitzvah was still planned, but like nobody could come in. Like the hotel was destroyed. Our synagogue had a lot of damage. And so I did it in a small synagogue. And instead of wearing my like party dress, I got to wear my favorite outfit, which was culottes. It was all one piece. So it was black culottes with white pinstripes, attached at the waist with elastic to a white shirt with black pinstripes. And attached to that shirt was a yellow vest. And then I had a polka dot black and white tie that also attached to the outfit. Like this was all just like superhero suit, like one piece number. And so I got to wear that and I went to the smaller synagogue, which was next, the old synagogue next to the big synagogue. The news came. It was like, girl triumphs over storm to become a woman. And I was on like the front page of the living set. Well, my bat mitzvah was, my little cousin made the picture because she's like, you know, really blonde haired, blue eyed, cute little thing. And I was like this weird, pimply 12-year-old in culottes, in a culotte onesie. and then I thought I got off scot free and I wouldn't have to have the big deal. But in January, it ended up going down. My memory of it, I was miserable. Like, there's a bridal like preparation room, and I remember hanging out there the whole time and being like horribly miserable. But then I saw the video of it, and I had a great time. I was like running the limbo bar. I think it was just like it ended up to be like a fun party. There's like chicken nuggets on the kids' buffet food line, you know? I really did not remember having a good time, but the evidence is there, man. I was just like elated.
Is this video too? Oh, okay. Elizabeth, this is your grandma.
Elizabeth's graduation.
And we know that you'll always make your parents as proud as you have on these two occasions.
There's an old Jewish phrase that said, we should live to dance at your wedding. And with God's help, I hope you'll be there.
All right, Liz, I'd just like to say that your bar mitzvah was great. It was like velvet, and I couldn't expect anything more from my sister.
Hi, Liz. This is your Uncle Jerry. Seen you grow the last couple of years. You've become a young woman. I can't wait for the next couple. Bye-bye.
I will remember your bar mitzvah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, it's like a trans kid, you know, even though you don't have the terminology for it, it was like all I wanted to do was to be like liked in a way that I thought I would never be liked. And to be honest, like I was psyched. I was like, if this makes me a woman, then let's fucking do this shit, you know? Like I was like, gender wise I was like psyched for anything that would make me more a woman or a girl, because it was not happening on its own. Like I was psyched about puberty. I couldn't wait to get my period because I thought like that's the moment this girl becomes a lady and everybody here is just gonna accept the fact that I'm a woman and it's gonna be awesome and I won't like feel weird anymore around other girls. But like obviously that doesn't work either, and then it just sucks and you have your period. I didn't even know that trans men existed till I was 20, and then my roommate in college came back from her women's studies class with a book and was like, sit down. And I was like, okay. And I looked at it and then it just sucked. My life after that for the next few years sucked because I was just like, yeah, that's what I want. Okay, let's go there now.
My cousin Joseph and Ellen have tell. They'll always make you laugh, boy, is he swell. They love to play cards, never missing a deal. What else is new? As siblings, we used to fight. When I touched him soft, well, you punched with all his might. Giving charity is the right thing to be done. So, Grandpa, please come up and light candle number one.
For party animal. Wow. Wow. I'm an F-A-G-E-T-T-E. A twinkle toes, wind is go, got double X's and rows, got tender troubles and loads. I need a man that can handle what's underneath these clothes.
Why?
Cause I got a V to the A-G-I-N-A, but no P-E-N-I-S-N-A. Cause for real though, I got a dildo. I got two dildos, I got three dildos.
They started performing in Athens, Georgia, and I was just like, started performing with, like, you know, the other trans guy in town, and I think getting on stage and just being like, listen to me, this is who I am, like, from a stage, I think, like, maybe that was my bar mitzvah, because, like, I feel like that's when I, like, publicly became a man. That's when it happened. And just the gay bar in Athens, Georgia. I really feel like that was like, those were like my affirming moments, you know, where I just said like, this is who I am. You know, like, cause it's, that was like total self-identity because nobody else was identifying me as that. But after I socially transitioned, it took me about 5 years to start medical transition for many reasons. One was access. And I knew that, like, if I was going to go after medical transition in Athens, I was going to have to do a lot of self-advocacy. And also, like, you have to tell your family you're going to medically transition and that. Or you don't have to. I had to. I felt proud to have been, like, a man without medical transition. And then I just had this moment where I was like, I don't want to be a boy forever. Like, I looked like a boy and I got treated like a boy and I wanted to have grown-up experiences and get to be a man. And at that point, too, I was 25. So I'm, like, almost 8 years into this and I can't even remember my body any other way. I can barely remember the time in between, and that seems like the biggest thing in my life for so long. When you're going through puberty as a kid, everybody's going through it with you. Like, your hair, their hair. But when you're doing it as an adult, it's sort of like this singular experience amongst your friends, unless you have a lot of trans friends who are currently, like, going through transition. While you go through medical transition and you go through all these steps transitionally, your social transition is so much greater. Like, your experiences are, like, internally, physically, yeah, you know what's going to happen. Like, it's weird, it's hairy, it's, you know, you're like, didn't know my butt was going to get so hairy, but my face wasn't going to get so hairy. I only started shaving maybe 2 years ago. I just finally finished my first thing of small 3 ounce travel shaving cream about 3 months ago. Like, you have, like, the idea that things are going to happen and grow, but you have no idea how the rest of the world is also, like, you do have an idea because it gets put on you every day. But, like, that is the even bigger part of transition. The biggest part of transition now is changing my life through walking around town looking like a 14 to 16 year old dude. To getting, you know, bossed by the corner store dude, you know, and he's like, hey, boss, like, whatever. And then your world just, then you're like just walking through the world as a man. Yeah, being a man in the world's a whole nother game. I had heard it was for real and I had believed it was for real, but now I know it is for real. Literally, I feel like I landed in my body 2 years ago or something like that, a year and a half ago. One day I was like, I'm not in conflict with this anymore. Some days when I don't have shows or I don't have workshops for a few months in the summer, I can forget I'm a transsexual.
Now you're a coy boy and I'm a goy boy. Had me talking about my breasts before we first kissed. Had me making wish lists of Hanukkah gifts. Cause we still get them behaving less than Christian. Oy vey, you gay. Let's go back to my place. Give those jeans a year.
Goodbye, everyone. I hope you had a great time at my bat mitzvah. And I'll be looking forward to see you at my wedding. Goodbye.
So, Harvey's bat mitzvah was planned and calculated. He knew what was going to happen. There was a plan in place for how he was supposed to, quote-unquote, become a woman. The steps were clear. less clear, was his second coming of age. But he made it nonetheless.
Here I am, Jewish man in my 30s, back to my New York roots.
Now, we're shifting gears into a phase with no clear path of entry or exit. Who knows when we will emerge changed? I'm talking about sex. Becoming sexual is a rite of passage. An informal one, but a rite nonetheless. But since it's not really something that we talk about, it's not really clear if sex is indeed what makes us adults. We know that adults do it. They love to do it. They talk about doing it all the time, but in the most rudimentary way possible.
Unless you're listening to AudioSpun.
We also know that sex is how you have babies. And conceiving a child is about as adult as it gets. I want to introduce Kaylee.
My name is Kaylee, but my friends call me Kay.
Kay grew up in rural Ontario, a place with few formalized rituals. In this small, rural setting, there was only one way to become an adult as far as Kay was concerned, and that was to have sex.
It became this thing to me that I thought must mean adulthood.
She began her quest to adulthood when she was an adolescent. Let us return again to the 90s.
I really loved Prince. Listening to Prince all the time made me think that adults had sex. And my friends, who all seemed older and wiser than me in some way, were also all having sex. Like, I wanted to be an adult like them. I wanted to be an adult like Prince.
I love you.
I wanted to be not this 15-year-old kid with, like, braces. And I was especially awkward. I was, like, the only disabled kid at school. I had canes and nobody else had canes, and I had painted mine, like, bright pink with glitters all over them because I thought it made them cooler. It didn't, actually. So I was just this really uncomfortable disabled kid with braces dancing around to Prince, like, trying to be a woman. When you're in the 10th grade, you get sex ed, and it's just, like, 15 minutes of video. It happens in gym class, and I never saw it because I didn't go to gym class. During gym class, I just went to the cafeteria and was alone. Prince has one specific song called Cream, and it's about getting on top and creaming. which I thought was probably sounded like really sexy. He really liked it in the song. So I tried to do that alone, like getting on top of pillows, like touching things on my body, trying to figure out if that would feel good. I thought you more rode things than put fingers in places. Like, I didn't really think about using my hands as much as trying to get on top of pillows and, like, the corners of couches. I didn't really figure it out. Like, I didn't really get it. Part of my spinal cord injury means that I have to catheterize myself. So I have been touching myself since I was 9, but it was never sexual. It was like, oh, you touch yourself to put a catheter in your urethra, and then you pee, and then you're done touching yourself. So I think that part of why I thought that everybody rode on top of things was because I was so used to touching my vagina and it not being sexual that I thought there must have been something else going on. Listening to Prince and riding all the pillows wasn't getting me anywhere. And so I thought I would find a boyfriend. I knew that my cousins were all gay, but I just had a feeling I wasn't. Turns out I was wrong, but I was sure for a while that I was pretty straight. So I found a boyfriend. It was pretty easy to do. His name was Andrew. He was so cute. He had really curly hair, like little tiny little ringlets all over his head. And he was really pale. And I loved him. I was suddenly like a cool girl in school. Like I drove a truck with a boy. It was very big deal for me. And he was the first person who I tried to like do the things that Prince talked about with. So we would wait till his dad wasn't home. And then if we were going to like do really sexy things, it would be in his bedroom. But at this point, it still wasn't like penetrative sex. Like I was like, okay, I'll give you a hand job, I guess. I didn't know that you were supposed to grip and move quickly. I thought it was like a more of a like patting and like a like gentle, like petting a dog, you know? But he didn't really tell me what to do either. Like it was so uncomfortable. He loved me and he didn't want to tell me I was doing a bad job. And so eventually we decided to progress to blowjobs because maybe I would be better at that. We had talked about it and we decided that I was going to try and give him a blowjob. And so I went to one of my friends, my good friend Tina. She was like a woman in the know. So I went over there for a blowjob lesson before the big event. And so she went, she got a bunch of bananas from her kitchen and we like locked her door and we had a drink. And then she tried to show me what a blowjob was on a banana. I had no idea it involved sucking. I, again, thought it was more like a licking, patting motion. I thought it was a really gentle thing. Like, I didn't get that you sucked and grabbed. I thought it was more like gentle kissing, like kissing the penis, like a little peck, like you would give your grandma. I felt confident after the session. And then I think I went to his house like the next day and I was like, okay, I'm ready for this. And I remember he was like, he was hard. And I think I probably started with some hand patting, like some gentle tapping at it with my hands. And I think I looked up and I was probably so obviously afraid, like this cute little scared braces kid. And he was like, it's okay, baby. Like just pretend it's a Mars bar. And I was like, okay. My lesson that involved a banana and then his like reassuring comment about Mars bars just kind of got me on the wrong track and I forgot everything about the sucking and I bit it. I bit his penis. Like I bit it, like I nibbled at it, like a little bird eating bread. He was just like, ow, ah, and it really hurt. And then I was so scared. Like I hadn't meant to hurt him. I just didn't know about sex. And so then I screamed too. We were both like screaming in his bed naked and his brothers were around. Like both of our brothers, we had to like make sure the door was locked. So we were screaming and it was awful. And then I was crying. That was kind of it. After that one try, we didn't try again. Andrew was like this big deal. And I thought that he would be the one. And then I bit his dick and it ended. I was okay with being different, but I was sure that I couldn't do it. Like, I thought sex involved a movement that I wouldn't be able to do. I was like, oh, fuck, my body might just not do this. The experience of having sex for the first time, while it was definitely not good sex, was very much me in control. I was doing it because I was feeling super ready. I didn't have any uncomfortable tutorials first. I was just, like, diving in head first. And I was like, was it there? Was that it? He was like, yeah. And I was like, well, okay, cool. And I just felt like success. I thought this was going to be about me being bad at sex when I was in high school. But I guess the truth is that like sex, though I thought it would be this big coming of age moment, it's just been this like long project for almost all of my adulthood thus far. And I'm only maybe now at like 27, really confident that I'm good at it. And I think I'm an adult.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Big ass round this way so I can work on it. Honey, them hips is gone. Honey, them hips is gone.
Back to 1999. I had just started my period. My mother was elated, thrilled. She gave me some pads to wear, told me which ones she thought were the best, and I thought that was that. I went to sleep that night, confused and in total disbelief.
This could not be happening to me.
I woke up late the next morning to a sweet smell cradling me. It smelled like my mom's birthday cakes, which are not like normal American birthday cakes. It wafted of oranges and burnt sugar. I got out of bed, took a shower, washed all the dried blood that had crawled its way into all my crevices as I slept, and put a fresh pad in my panties. came into the breakfast nook and saw a fresh baked cake sitting on the table. She had baked me a cake because I started my period. On this Mother's Day, thanks, Mom. Oh, wait, she's never gonna listen to this. Do you feel it? We have arrived at the other end. We are whole. We can finally be accepted as full members of society. I am a woman, or so I'm told. I feel similar to Kaylee in this respect. I am 27. When my grandmother was this age, she was finished having all of her children, and I have yet to even have the slightest urge. I am living in a room smaller than my childhood bedroom. I was making more money at the age of 20 when I had dreadlocks and worked at a nonprofit. I don't wear a helmet when I ride a bike. Sometimes I have ice cream for dinner. I don't own a pair of real pants, unless you count my yellow jeggings. All the light bulbs in my living room and kitchen have burnt out, and they have not been replaced. We eat by the glow of laptops and Christmas lights. But you know what? I ate the shit out of that cake my mom made me, and I'm an adult, and I can do what I want. But now, I'm just thinking, why? Sure, rituals help us make this transition from stage to stage, but also, I think maybe it's just nice to mark the passage of time. How else are we supposed to keep track of anything without any significant milestones? That's all for the coming of age episode. Thank you for marking this passage of time with us and for being with us as we enter new states of being. You can find links to Harvey's work at theathensboyschoir.com. And if you liked Kaylee's story, you're in luck. She has a book coming out at the end of the summer called Hot, Wet, and Shaking: How I Learned to Talk About Sex. This is going to be Kaylee's first creative nonfiction novel. It will be available by independent chain retailers in Canada and through Amazon. She's also going to be touring the book, so stay tuned at Invisible Publishing for dates. We will also have links to all of this on our website at audiosmut.ca. If you think Audio Smut is the best, rate us in iTunes and write us a review. It will really make a difference. Or make a donation so we can grow up and be a real radio show. Audio Smut is produced by Caitlin Prest, Jen Ng, Shira Bannerman, Megan Dietry, Samara Breger, Connie Ho, and myself, Mitra Kaboli. Special production help from Ray Dooley and Veronica Simmons. Veronica has a radio show called Braidio, where she braids people's hair on the radio. Obviously, she is a goddess. We will also link to that on our website. Music in this episode by Johnny Ripper and Felix Ramirez. Until next time, thanks for listening. This episode of Audio Smut was supported by Babeland. Babeland, thank you so much for helping us in our quest for world domination. Babeland is a women-owned sex toy retailer. They welcome people of all orientations, genders, and experience levels. They provide fun shopping environment and carry a variety of sex toys. Use the offer code 52909 at checkout to receive 10% off and free shipping at babeland.com. We love you.
Since I'm five in the game, I'm a single white man. Then on any given day, may have a tendency towards homosexuality.
Hey, 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 oh hey.
Well, I'm an F-A-G-E-T-T-E. Typical tones in this book, got double X's and rows, got gender troubles and lows. I need a man that can handle what's underneath these clothes.
Why?
Cause I got a V to the H-E-I-N-A. They know P-E-N-I-S and V. Cause for real though, I got a dildo. I got two dildos, I got three dildos. I'm an F-A-G-E-T-T-E. Typical tones in this book, got double X's and rows, got gender troubles and lows. Underneath these clothes.
Why?
Cause I got a V to the H-E-I-N-A, but no P-E-N-I-S-N-A.
the tingle. You know I mean business while popping Luther Vandross. I'm an equal opportunity lover. I like the boys, the girls, the others.
Yeah.
LGBTQI, LMNOP, hell, apples and oranges, they're all fruits to me. I like them big, I like them small, I like them tall, 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 I like them tall. So here's to the girls with the chubby chub. Now, here's to the boys, ain't got no words. Sexy nerds, the freaks, the butchers and the geeks, the bears and S&Ms and the femme lesbians. I'm a pansexual, got my hands on the man, all the smooth Jew vomits for party animals. Oh!
Radiotopia.